always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Congress in session this week for the last time in 2024, and it's a busy week for some of President-elect Trump's cabinet nominees. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., the choice for health secretary, due to meet with more than two dozen senators this week. ABC's Nicole D'Antonio has more.
Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s personal attorney once lobbied the FDA to revoke the polio vaccine. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell, a survivor of polio, saying efforts to undermine public confidence in proven cures are not just uninformed, they're dangerous. In response, Kennedy says he believes the polio vaccine should be available to the public and properly studied.
A new AP poll found just 3 in 10 people say they are extremely or very confident in Trump's cabinet picks. In New Jersey, more calls for more federal support to figure out what is behind the drone sightings in the skies. Federal officials say many are standard airplanes. And the Hamas-controlled Gaza Health Ministry now says 45,000 people have died in the war. This is a two Russian tankers making a mess in the Black Sea, where they ran aground in a storm, each carrying tons of oil, one of them split in half. In New York City, the city's mayor is responding to another blow.
The latest high-profile departure from the Adams administration is Ingrid Lewis-Martin. She's been a top advisor to the mayor since 2022, and in September, she had her phone seized in connection with an investigation by the Manhattan District Attorney into the city's commercial property leases. In a statement, Mayor Adams says he and every New Yorker owes Lewis-Martin a debt of gratitude for her decades of service. Earlier this year, Adams was indicted in his own federal corruption case. Mike DeBusky, ABC News.
For one night only, a dream fulfilled on Broadway. Show me the meaning. That is Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson on stage at the show N. Juliet. In her memoir, she said her essay to Harvard included the fantasy of appearing on Broadway. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. On my YouTube channel, I recently talked to Amanda Clayman, a financial therapist and an all-around excellent person. We talked about how to reduce money anxiety, and her advice was really helpful. She said, unless we have a time to do money, we don't have a time to not do money. Meaning, if we set aside some time to think about and manage our money, it lets our brain stop worrying about money all the time. For example, I have a monthly money meeting with myself, which lowers my money anxiety and helps keep me on top of my finances. If you don't already, set and keep that money meeting with yourself. It'll help your wallet and your peace of mind. Remember what Amanda said, unless you have a time to do money, you don't have a time to not do money. For more everyday money tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
The Packers beat the Seahawks.
Hi,
I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Green Bay jumped out to an early lead and beat the Seahawks 30-13. The Packers scored on a 10-play opening drive. Running back Josh Jacobs was the ball carrier on 9 of those plays.
I always want to set the tone. I always want to start the game a certain type of way to create, you know, energy and things like that for the team.
The Packers offense began to sputter in the third quarter. Quarterback Jordan Love.
You know, it's something that we're going to have to clean up, just having that consistency through four quarters and be able to put together a four-quarter battle.
Next, the Packers host the Saints on Monday Night Football. College volleyball, the Wisconsin women's team losing the regional finals to Nebraska in 3 straight sets.
It's always hard when you lose that your last match. You feel for them, especially when you see the work that they do day in and day out, and stacking years on top of that.
As Badgers head coach Kelly Sheffield with sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabo. Zombie fans will be excited to learn that the third installment of Danny Boyle's 28 Days Later franchise is just around the corner. The film is called 28 Years Later and stars Aaron Taylor Johnson and Ralph Fiennes. Boyle returns to the director's chair for this film after executive producing the second installment of the franchise 28 weeks later. Ben Stiller can be downright rude, at least when he's playing Hal, the role he is playing again in Happy Gilmore 2 with Adam Sandler. In an interview with Yahoo News, Stiller said about his character, he's just so mean and and he just hates Happy so much. You don't have to worry about having any redeeming qualities or being likable, which is great. For whatever reason, the plot for Happy 2 is being kept completely under wraps. Shooting for the film has been completed, and a tentative release date is set for July 2025 on Netflix. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It is foggy this morning, going to be cloudy with a few off and on snow showers through the day. It'll also be windy with a high of 33 this afternoon, tonight down to 19, tomorrow cloudy, 26 by Wednesday, mostly cloudy and colder with a high of only 18. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
Dom Selvia.
I'm Jimmy Cuska filling in for Dom Selvia. Coming up Monday, we'll talk gas prices heading into the holidays, and it's not too late to run for local office. We'll tell you how.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's 6:06 on this Monday morning, December 16th, 2024. It's another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening, across the Civic Media Radio Network, or on the app, or by podcast, or on social media. Thanks for starting your day right here. I got a question for you. This is the last full week before Christmas. Are you ready? And interestingly enough, some people actually answer yes to that. And so, well, good on you. Others probably still have a two-page list of things to get done this week, and this is the time to do it. We'll try to help out at 7:30. We'll bring back author Laura Bird. We had some technical difficulties last week, and we'll get more of her recommendations for books as Christmas gifts for the young readers and for adults as well. We'll have Dr. Kristen Lyerly joining us, as she does most Mondays, and we will talk about the latest court ruling on an abortion travel ban in Idaho. It was part of it was upheld by a court, but the part of it that was struck down is especially encouraging, as it was practically an unconstitutional gag order against even talking about abortion options for minors. Selena Heller will be here as well, coming up in our next hour and starting this hour in today's history lesson. She's been talking to some tiny humans, experts in Santa and his naughty and nice list, and ask them, how do you know if you're on Santa's naughty list or on Santa's nice list? So we'll see what Selena got from these small experts along the way. You can give us your own feedback, questions, comments, and more at 855-75-CIVIC. 855-752-4842. You can call that number. You can text that number. Call or text to the Civic Media app and text it about an hour from now when we are giving out the latest keyword in the Civic Media grown-up gift list text to win contest. We'll give you a keyword next hour to text our way and put you in the running for an hourly prize, as well as a one of eight great grand prizes off the grown-up gift list. So having talked about the naughty and nice list, but we have to bring in another expert now on such things. Greg Bach, who is an excellent judge of character, is here to join us as well. He's in a warmer place, as are we all. It's in the 30s. It's in the 30s, people. It's going to hit 40s in some places today.
It's 42 right now, baby.
It's 42. It's 42 down in Radio Park in Racine.
Yeah.
Tony writes in on YouTube, what a day. It's above freezing. Hope you have your sunscreen on. He says, also, not to be a sports talk person, but go Pack, go.
Boring.
Yep. And Alicia sends us happy foggy Monday morning greetings on YouTube as well. Yes, the Packers were winners last night over the Seattle Seahawks. Jordan Love threw two touchdowns. Romeo Dobbs caught him. Josh Jacobs ran for 94 yards and a touchdown. Packers beat Seattle on the road 30-13. Packers go to 10-4 and are pretty much a win away from clinching a spot in the playoffs. Brandon McManus kicked three field goals. That was a good game to watch.
There you go. I didn't get a chance to watch it. I was it was a very busy weekend. There was lots going on. So it's just nice to sit here and my brand new coffee mug I have here.
Oh, can you hold it up a little closer to the camera there?
It says woke up sexy as hell again, you know.
Look at that. Woke up sexy as hell again.
I was sitting in the house, Pat, just minding my business like a good American. Mm-hmm. Eventually paying my taxes next year, and my wife's like, that package on the floor is for you. I'm like, what? Like, I didn't order anything. I'm like, okay, like, are you sure? Because like I've my Christmas stuff is coming this week. I pick up the box and it just says Pat Kreitlow. I'm like, well, this isn't for me, this is for Pat Kreitlow. And then I look down a little bit, it has my name on it. This is a coffee mug that Mr. Pat Kreitlow of One Up North News Radio gave me, I'm assuming as a birthday present.
Yes. I'm still working on a Christmas present for you, Greg. Yes, you don't that's have exactly to get me. What it is.
You don't
it's
have to
a get, birthday present.
You don't have to get me
for anything the birthday I forgot.
Ever. I am very appreciative. And there was a very nice card attached with personalized card stock.
The personalized Up North News card. Yes, that's a limited edition set.
It opens very Midwestern. This isn't a real present.
Well, it's inadequate for all that you do, but when I saw it, I thought it would be an excellent radio booth mug for someone like yourself.
Very much appreciate it, Pat, and I very much appreciate you.
Oh, thank you so much.
No problem,
well, good. Well, now that we know that you woke up sexy as hell again,
yeah,
as we all do every day, Alicia reminds us there was more than one football game. There was the Army-Navy game over the weekend, and she says the best team won. I actually was in Madison over the weekend visiting some friends, and at one point we stopped in at a VFW bar in Madison. And obviously the Army-Navy game was on. Mm-hmm. The Navy fans were having the better time of it because they were celebrating with each touchdown and buying shots for folks. So, yeah, they were because Army was I think, favored on this one. Army's had a heck of a season. But Navy won. The VFW folks were very, very happy.
There you go.
It was good to see all of them. Let's see. Tony's adding that the Packers controlled the game the entire way through. A fantastic game. Yes, very true. Couldn't agree more on that. Now, the Packers, that was the third of four night games in a row. Going back to Thanksgiving, it was a Thursday night followed by a Thursday night. Now we just had the Sunday night game. Mm-hmm. Their next game is Monday night next week, December 23rd. They will be at Lambeau Field hosting New Orleans. 7:15 is the kickoff on Monday night games. The pregame, I'm sure, will be at 5:00 on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Park Falls, and Racine Kenosha. Greg, it is with great pleasure and anticipation that I tell you that in Las Vegas tomorrow night, your Milwaukee Bucks will play the Atlanta Hawks for the NBA in-season tournament Emirates Cup. Cup. next year we'll come up with a different jingle for the rather than just hitting all the random buttons on your park wall over there.
I love it. I love it so much. I thought about this weekend when I saw an advertisement. I'm like, well, I get to hit the buttons at least one more time.
That's right. Now, at least once more tomorrow when they take on Atlanta.
Yeah.
And then we just go back to regular season.
Yeah.
Which is what these all are anyway. So, yeah. But, you know, hey, they made it to the cup final, as Tony writes. So, yeah. Well,
for a country that hates soccer so much, why are we co-opting soccer terms?
Got me.
There it is.
No idea. Yep.
Thank you.
They always said soccer was going to catch on in this country in some way, shape, or form. It was just the terminology.
Yep.
Just grab some of that. Let's see. Let's check some of the other sports here at 6:14. The Badger men's basketball team, 20th ranked in the country, snapped a three-game losing streak on Saturday after beating Butler. Up next, the Badger men will close out non-conference play next Sunday afternoon, hosting Detroit Mercy at the Kohl Center. The Badger women's basketball team, they are 9-2 on the season. They're working a four-game winning streak, and their next home game will be against Albany, a home game Friday morning at 11 a.m., is what the schedule says here. The Badger women's volleyball team is out of the NCAA tournament after being swept again by Nebraska. They were the host team for the tournament's regional final. The Marquette women also lost in the regional final to the host, Penn State. In fact, the Final Four of the NCAA Women's National Volleyball Tournament is made up of the four number one seeds. So it was chalk all the way through as Nebraska, Penn State, Louisville, and Pitt advance to the semifinals. As for the Badger women wrap up the season 26-7. This marks the 14th consecutive season where the Badgers recorded 20 or more wins. So congratulations to the women on another good season. Badger men's hockey split a series at 8th-ranked Michigan, so the Badger men's hockey team is now 7-10-1 on the season. They next play December 28th in Milwaukee as part of the Quick Trip Holiday Tournament. The Badger women's hockey team is on a holiday break. They will host Ohio State on January 2nd. The Marquette men's basketball team is now 9-2 after losing in Dayton on Saturday night. And the Marquette women's basketball team beat UWM yesterday, 69-51. They will be at Bowling Green on Wednesday. Look at this. Look, Greg, we've got to cover the NBA in-season tournament Emirates Cup again.
We do?
Yeah, because I got the team wrong.
Okay.
Thank you. They beat Atlanta. They beat Atlanta Hawks over the weekend to make it to the cup final tomorrow, where they will play the Oklahoma City Thunder. So as you can see how well I was paying attention to the NBA in-season Emirates Cup.
We can thank our man Luke Mathers in the up top high booth making the big calls for us.
Absolutely. He's right there, and he makes sure that he corrects these things.
Watching us at all times.
He needs to. He needs to know just how big a Christmas bonus to provide for you and everybody there. You like that. I like that. Let's see. Let's check what's in the daily newsletter that you can get at upnorthnewswi.com. Just go to our website and click subscribe up in the top banner. And let's see. There is, this from Christina Laurie. A gift idea, the gift of live music, concert tickets. There are all kinds of concerts already scheduled for Wisconsin in 2025, including Billy Joel and Sting at American Family Field. And that's in April. Coldplay will be at Camp Randall in July and much more. Christina's working on a full list of every concert scheduled already in Wisconsin for 2025. And so to make sure you see that list, sign up for our unabashedly Wisconsin news at upnorthnewswi.com. Also in there, an article on Rudolph, Wisconsin, a little community in Wood County, population 439. Of those 439 folks, they're getting a lot of mileage out of the name every year at Christmas time. Was it really the place where Rudolph the reindeer was born? Does he hail from Rudolph, Wisconsin? No, they're not going to tell you that. But it's Christmas time, and who doesn't love a good play on words? So more about Rudolph, Wisconsin in today's newsletter. Coming up next, we'll talk about the big Enbridge pipeline spill here in Wisconsin. Wherever you're listening across the state on this beautiful Monday morning, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Big news in Wisconsin this month, as much of the controversial anti-union Act 10 law was struck down in a ruling by Dane County Circuit Court Judge Jacob Frost. Two takeaways on this. One, the ruling gets at the heart of what has always made this law so brazenly political by defining public safety employees differently from general public employees. That decision was pretty clearly made not based on across-the-board policy, but on which unions backed Scott Walker for governor in 2010. It would be fitting if that is what ultimately spells the end for this controversial law. Secondly, this case is headed to an appeal, which almost certainly will end up at the Wisconsin Supreme Court. While this case still might be decided by the court's current 4-3 liberal majority, it's a good reminder of just how important the upcoming race for state Supreme Court will be.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Here's why I'm glad I don't work in an office. My wife is always talking about, she's a teacher. They put donuts in the teacher's lounge. There's sweets, there's snacks. It wasn't that way here today, but Nikki keeps those Biscoff cookies out there. I probably ate 12 of those today. The phrase "you are what you eat" is very true, because I was sitting in the office earlier prepping the show and I felt kind of doughy and I'm like, I feel like a Biscoff cookie.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
I'll have a blue Christmas without you. I'll be so blue.
Yep, it's that time of year. We get to hear Elvis with Blue Christmas. Because Elvis's Christmas album was the number one album on this day in 1957. Much more coming up on today's history lesson, less than a half hour from right now. Coming up across the Civic Media Radio Network today on the Todd Alba Show, Todd and Trygve Olsen are in Seattle, where they were for the Packers-Seahawks game. So they'll do their show from Seattle here before Trygve heads back to closer confines and actually a guest host for Todd tomorrow. So Todd and Trygve from Seattle later today. Today at 4, Jimmy Koska is filling in for Dominic Salvia. And at 4:35, he's got Mike Shaw, from the Isthmus Bowl, Lakefront Bowl director. It's college football season. Did you know Wisconsin has two annual bowl games of its own? Learn more about that. And at 5:05 today, Patrick DeHaan, analyst for Gas Buddy, will talk about holiday gas prices and the potential price impacts of Trump tariffs on Canadian imports. That's with Jimmy Koska filling in for Dominic Salvia today from 4 to 6 across the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, when we talk about our reliance on, you know, gas and oil and imports from Canada and elsewhere, it reminds us that much of the crude that still flows through this country flows in pipelines that, if not constantly inspected and updated, pose a tremendous problem, pose a tremendous threat of damage, as is being argued up by the Bad River Reservation. But not just the threat of damage, but actual damage, as it was discovered. And by the way, was quite a while before it was discovered. It wasn't like readily apparent in real time that roughly 70,000 gallons of oil spilled from a pipeline in Jefferson County. That's about 60 miles west of Milwaukee. The problem was discovered on November 11th by an Enbridge energy technician, according to reporting from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. The spill, according to Enbridge, on their line 6 was caused by a faulty connection on a pump transfer pipe at their station for Cambridge. The spill is estimated at more than 1,600 barrels of oil, equivalent to about 70,000 gallons. A company spokesperson said that remediation began immediately upon discovery. Removal of impacted soils is continuing, And the spokesperson said about 60% of the spill had been removed through excavation. The spill was immediately reported to regulators, though the report by a federal pipeline safety agency said the line was likely leaking for an extended period of time. Line 6 runs more than 450 miles from Superior to a terminal near Griffith, Indiana. Now, the part that is ironic or just unfortunately timed for the company, at least, is that the spill was discovered during the very same week that Wisconsin regulators approved permits for Enbridge to move part of their aging Line 5 pipeline around the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa Reservation. That pipeline's been running through the reservation for decades now, and against the tribal community's wishes for many years, they want the pipeline out of there. And instead, the company is saying, well, we won't put the pipeline through your land anymore, but we'll just go around it. But that still means it's in the watershed. In fact, now it would all be completely upriver from the Bad River community, and so would cause even more damage if something like that were to spill. Of course, Enbridge says that the risk of a spill, you know, is low, and that these things don't happen very often, and they catch them right away. And the spill in Jefferson County really kind of makes that statement all the more challenging. Midwest Environmental Advocates Executive Director Tony Guybert issued a statement saying that it shows in Jefferson County why they have challenged the DNR's approval of the Line 5 reroute and have specifically challenged the DNR's conclusion that the risk of a spill from Line 5 is small. The risks posed by Line 5 are not small. The harm this pipeline would cause to Wisconsin waters and climate is guaranteed to be significant and could be catastrophic. This is now Enbridge's worst spill in Wisconsin. It surpasses an incident in 2012 that spilled 50,000 gallons in Adams County. And so again, you have folks questioning how the DNR could approve the reroute of Line 5, a matter that is still going to be very much up for contention or court action, as ever the case may be. Let's see, Tony puts up on YouTube in the comment section here, it was a visual inspection that caught it, right? No automated system caught it or had any red lights going off. It was lucky they caught it when they did. That's exactly it. This was, who knows how much longer it could have been going. Had it not been caught when it was. There seems to me it proves the need for a better system out there if you're going to be approving new pipelines to replace these old ones. One quick media note from over the weekend. You no doubt have heard that ABC has agreed to settle a defamation lawsuit with Donald Trump. And so ABC is going to pony up $15 million, not to Donald Trump, but as a donation to the Trump Presidential Library to resolve a defamation lawsuit. The settlement concerns the choice of words made by anchor George Stephanopoulos when noting that Trump had been found civilly liable for raping writer E. Jean Carroll years ago. In reality, the former and incoming president was found liable for defaming Carroll and sexually abusing her, which is not the same as being found civilly liable for raping her, but it's, for many people, a distinction without much of a difference. We're splitting hairs here in that many media outlets would fight this with, shall we say, a bit more zeal. And ABC is up for condemnation all around for essentially caving on this, again, as a way to make Trump happy for a guy who's talked about getting rid of broadcast licenses and banning reporters from their gaggles and the White House and all of that. Many other folks in media circles, extremely unhappy that ABC decided to cave and settle this defamation suit. Kristen Lyerly scheduled to come up next. You're up north.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
If you've got a college student coming home for the holidays, make sure you have a conversation about internships. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Monday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Trying to acquire those valuable internships is an earlier and earlier process on campuses across Wisconsin. That's according to Dr. Tara Montgomery at the UW-Platteville campus.
It very much depends on the type of internship that they're looking for. What we've found in agriculture is that we have students who are looking for a particular company. So let's say that they want to work with Central Star. Central Star has a very specific deadline and, you know, very put together program. A lot of the more formal ones will have a fall deadline, maybe November 1st or December 1st. And so usually when students are looking for internships, they're actually starting at the beginning of the semester in the fall, saying, what is it that I want to do? What's out there? What's available? But we definitely have students that find really good internships all the way through, you know, mid-March, sometimes even into April.
That's Dr. Tara Montgomery, director of the School of Agriculture on the UW-Platteville campus. Another trend she's noticing is when the internship involves remote work opportunities. Once the student gets that internship, it can sometimes lead into additional internship opportunities once they're back on campus in the fall. Markets are next.
Did you know you can build a water and nutrient superhighway in your soil? You just need the Maximum Acre solution from Sound Agriculture. The easiest way to maximize your crop's access to nutrients all season long. How does it work? First, Source turns your soil into a nutrient factory, activating microbes that supply nitrogen, phosphorus, and micronutrients. Then Blueprint builds the delivery network. It provides a beneficial fungi called AMF, a powerful biological partner that plants rely on for macronutrients, micronutrients, and water. When used with Source, Blueprint expands the crop's reach beyond the roots, helping it access nutrients and water when they're needed most. For the Maximum Acre solution that leads to bigger, healthier, and more productive plants, source it with Blueprint. Talk to your dealer or visit sound.ag.
On Friday in Chicago, the barrel cheese dropped a quarter of a cent to 172¾. 40-pound block cheese was up a penny and a quarter at 180. AA butter dropped 6 cents to 46½ on the close. This morning, the January Class 3 milk that goes into cheese is down 3, 1996. Right now, December new crop next year corn up a penny and a half at 440. The November new crop beans are up 3, 1009. July new crop wheat up a penny at 570 a bushel. There's your market update. I'm PM Yonke.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It is foggy this morning, going to be cloudy with a few off and on snow showers through the day. It'll also be windy with a high of 33 this afternoon. Tonight down to 19, tomorrow cloudy, 26 by Wednesday, mostly cloudy and colder with a high of only 18. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbus Show.
Luke Matheris, you let the dogs out.
I let the dogs out. It was me. After about 15 minutes, I go out there and I'm like, what is this mound? An opossum playing dead in the middle of the yard. So I'm out there kind of hollering, like trying to corral the dogs. And then we finally got Aurora to come in the house, stepped away for a little bit, came back and was gone. I really hope that it remembers this traumatic experience and never comes back in my yard again.
The Todd Allbus Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we talk about news deserts and what that means to our politics. We'll wrap it all up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
It's not just because somebody from ABBA has a birthday today, coming up in today's history lesson, but because the official Dancing Queen of Up North News Radio joins us this morning. Dr. Kristen Lyerly is here. Dr. Lyerly, and for folks who might be relatively new to the show and go, why do you couch your language? Dr. Lyerly's scheduled to be here. Dr. Lyerly should be here. Dr. Lyerly is an OBGYN, and as Dr. Kreitlow and also an OBGYN likes to say, babies are naughty. Babies have no respect for your schedule and your plans. They're going to show up when they are good darn ready to. And so Kristen occasionally has to send her regrets by text as she gets set to, you know, play catcher. But today she's here. So things must be going well so far. Good morning, Dr. Lyerly.
Good morning. There have been a couple times where I've flown in at the last minute in my scrubs, having just washed my hands after delivering a baby.
There's other times where you've just rushed in with your scrubs to catch the baby. Sometimes they...
Yes.
Our second born was like that. Like the doctor's coming in and somebody's like, now, like, oh, here we go. Hi, here's your baby. You know,
yep. She's a slippery one. Never a dull moment.
Yep. Oh, that's good. Well, glad things are fine up north where you're.
Oh, no, Pat, you're getting the computer freezes again.
Uh-oh.
He's frozen.
Look at this.
He's frozen. I'm frozen. I'm way up north. It's way cold up here. We've got snow, like a lot of it. It's a thing.
Oh, it's like 42 degrees down here. And foggy.
Yeah, no. Foggy.
Oh, gosh. I'm still getting the low signal. Are you hearing and seeing me okay?
You're good. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, good. Well, look, Greg's going to have to take the next couple of minutes anyway, because I was explaining to Dr. Lyerly off air that I'm preparing some end of the year shows, some of the highlights from Up North News Radio this year, and that I just finished one of my favorite highlights. And this goes back to late January, where we talked about Kristen getting coverage for her role as Goldie Gopher while attending the University of Minnesota 30 some years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And in the midst of it, it's there. It's in ink. It's in ink, Kristen. People can look it up.
Sit down, children. Listen to when Grandma played the first mascot ever.
It was made of paper.
We put an actual dead gopher on my head. No, we were talking about that. And in the midst of it, as you will hear in the clip, we also talk about other traditions like jump around for the Badgers. And it was Greg thought we were talking about the song Jump Around. He was questioning the lyrics and who would listen to the lyrics of the song at a football game. There's kids there. And you hear Kristen saying, Greg, do you not know what Jump Around is?
Okay.
And now Greg would like a chance to respond.
I know what the song Jump Around is. I've been listening to the song since it was brand new on MTV. I know what the song is. I have never been to a Badger game in my life. So I had, just settle down. I'm a Panther. Leave me alone. So I had no idea that they... never been to a Badger game. Two, I don't follow college football. Three, I don't follow college any sports. So I had no clue that they played Jump Around. And you would think when I said that, I had said something akin to, hey, you know what? Maybe, I don't know, Audrey Hepburn was the worst actress and really ugly. Y'all treated me like I was the worst person on earth.
Deep cut going for Audrey Hepburn. Well, I mean, you basically said something along the lines of, guys, you know, I just discovered the sun rises in the east, you know, and you don't have to be a volcanologist to understand.
I know the sun rises in the east. What I didn't know is that at a random college competition,
a tradition that is known throughout the country is not necessarily known to everybody within the confines of the state of Wisconsin,
yeah,
or at least one person within the confines of the state of Wisconsin.
But it doesn't keep you from bringing it up.
Tradition, the best tradition in college football. And if you don't believe me, ask any announcer who covers a college football game, because every time they're on TV, they say exactly that. And you can feel the earth shake all the way up in Green Bay when jump around happens.
So this happens at Badger games when they score, or just at a certain point. Or,
oh brother, come on, Pat.
I thought it's during the break
between the third and fourth quarters. So they always come back from that break, and then
so they play twice.
No. It during the commercial break between the third and fourth quarter.
Okay, all right.
There's a break there, and it's during that pause that they start the song, and. You know, you have YouTube. You could YouTube this up, because like Tony's Ashland,
I'm sorry.
A quick trip.
Now you're getting snippy with me. You bring this whole thing back to embarrass me, and now you're like, you can just go on YouTube and watch it. I don't want to watch it. I want you to explain it. You're the teachers here.
He's going to get us there. Alicia writes in. Go ahead,
we need to take him to a game. I mean, because it's not just jump around. It's all the antics.
Yes.
And the antics are very Greg Bach. You don't even have to watch the game. Just enjoy what the crowd is doing.
If the Badger games were very Greg Bach, they'd be sitting down.
Greg's not one for jumping.
Looking at their watches going, so when are we going home?
Alicia writes in, no worries, Greg. I've never been to a Badger game or any professional sports game.
So well, you should go, at least, get to a Brewers game. I mean,
but now here's the part is I was working on the clip. The clip ends with us saying we should take Greg to a Badger game. We then noted that the Badgers play the Gophers in the last game of the regular season, and that's the game we should go for. And we said, okay, write that down. Let's make this happen. Narrator, they did not make it happen.
I did put it in my calendar. But if you remember back just a few weeks ago, it was very cold.
Yeah. It was miserable. Greg would have had a terrible time.
Okay, all right. Y'all would have been cold, too.
We're looking out for you.
Y'all would have been cold, too.
We didn't. Yes, we would have. We would have, too.
Seems like we didn't go for it.
That seems like a good way to make a transition here.
I'll tell you what, if Up North News Industries and Pant Creators is paying for a Badgers ticket, because I don't want it.
Oh no, we wouldn't dream of that. You would be our guest.
Oh, absolutely. I think I would just ruin your. I would be asking questions the entire time.
You don't even have to watch the game.
No, I think
listen to the crowd. Do you know the song "Build Me Up, Buttercup"?
Yes, of course I do. Okay, don't talk to me like I was just born yesterday. Come on now.
No.
You're totally good then.
Yes, yeah, because the crowd sings that song at one point during the game too.
So is this whole endeavor just mostly a karaoke concert sprinkled in with some football?
kind of a little bit
of cardio, from jumping around. And remember, a lot of these things were developed many years ago, when the Badger football team maybe wasn't the most entertaining product in the stadium at that point. Sometimes you had to make your own entertainment.
And
thus a tradition was born. So,
and we've come full circle now.
Yes, we have. All right. So anyway, later on, you're going to hear shows with end of the year highlights. That's going to be one of them. It's now going to include this little postscript on there as well. So be listening, because it'll air sometime not December 30th and 31st, when I'm happy to announce that on that Monday and Tuesday, two weeks from today, your genial host will be off for that those few days, and Mr. Bach and Dr. Lyerly will be co-hosting the show Monday and Tuesday, 2 weeks from now. Consider yourself warned. So,
Greg, I feel like our parents are going away for the weekend, and they're like, we're trusting you. And we're already starting to talk with our friends about what we're going to do.
Are you already planning the party? Yep, I know.
The party starts at 11, dude, but just be cool, man. Just be cool.
Yep.
It's going to be a laid-back thing, just a few friends, 2 hours later.
Yep. Pat and Sherry are driving to their destination going, do you think the kids will be okay if we left them in charge? Yeah, they'll be fine. What could possibly go wrong?
Famous last words.
Oh my God, it's risky business. It's Ferris Bueller's Day Off. It's every one of those 80s movies all coming together in one big party. Mm-hmm. God. Let's look at some of what was in the headlines over the past week or so I wanted to talk to Dr. Lyerly about, especially in terms of the abortion travel ban that's being proposed in some states. And Idaho is the one that's getting most of the attention here. And there was recently some kind of court action that for now upholds parts of this travel ban, which again strikes me as wildly unconstitutional. But they did strike down one part that was blatantly unconstitutional, and that was more of a freedom of speech issue. Kristen, the way this law was designed was not only would you be affecting people's travel, but what you could actually say to minors about their own reproductive care and their options. I mean, I can't chilling. The chilling effect doesn't even begin to describe what it would have imposed on doctors.
Well, not just doctors, but everyone. People don't know what they can and can't do because the landscape keeps shifting. I've spoken with colleagues in Arkansas and people who used to work in Idaho, and they don't know what they can and cannot do because the law changes all the time. And frankly, they're just afraid. They're trying to practice medicine and take care of their patients, and their patients are needing care. And it's this kind of chicanery that is preventing people from getting fundamental health care.
Yeah. And in some cases leading to poor and tragic outcomes because mm-hmm. you have a level of uncertainty. I know that when Roe v. Wade was first struck down, I had said we need to caution people not to raise their expectations to the level of the rebellious TV doctor, you know, mm-hmm. Whether it's Hawkeye Pierce or on MASH or House or some of these other rebel doctors that will do whatever it takes. And, you know, while doctors will literally move heaven and earth if they can for a patient, it doesn't mean they can do everything. And so you're not going to have these, you're going to have outcomes like what's really happening out there in the real world, not like what's on TV.
And just as a reminder, this is not something that is elective. This is not like plastic surgery or Botox. This is healthcare. People have health-related problems associated with pregnancy, bleeding, blood pressure issues, pregnancies that are fundamentally flawed that require medical care and treatment. You can't just not get care for these things. So when you prevent doctors from providing that care, when you prevent patients from understanding who they can talk to about that care, people just don't get it and patients die. And we're seeing this. We know that women who live in these states are 3 times more likely to die as a result of their pregnancies. It is the opposite of healthcare. And it's crazy to believe that it's happening in the United States in almost 2025.
I know. I would like to say it's hard to believe. And yet, I will say for all the folks that say, God, you guys, you threw around the word fascism an awful lot in the past year. Let me make this straight. If you're writing, proposing, or supporting any kind of a law that looks to regulate the words you can say, remember how the legislature had a bill in the last session of all these words that they were going to ban, like, you know, reparations and diversity, equity, and inclusion and things like that. When you're going after the actual words that people can say, that's why people start to talk about fascism, because that's what that is, boys and girls.
And the hypocrisy that this is the party that stands for free speech, yet don't say these words.
Yes, right. Alicia writes in saying, both of my pregnancies were high risk. It's a medical condition that can be life-threatening. And that's what we're supposed to be helping people mm-hmm. understand and helping people through. So then I'll just close by saying, for folks that heard us on Friday, we had Courier Newsroom national correspondent Kia Vakil talking about headlines around the country, including in New Hampshire, where Republicans all throughout the year said, no, we're not going to add more abortion restrictions. You can trust us. You know, and as soon as they won control of the legislature, they've right away started proposing new bills with further reductions on abortion rights. So it is truly a matter of what they do, not what they say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is not a state's issue. That's what got them through the election. But we know that there's a national abortion ban looming. Just wait for it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's going to be pay attention all throughout January. Starting January 20th. January 20th is going to be a crazy day to begin with. And then you watch what happens once Trump and this new Congress start clicking. And it's one of those things where don't you dare walk away from this. Folks need you. Folks in vulnerable populations need your vigilance more than ever. Today's history lesson is coming up right after this break. You're up north.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We reported recently on the impact of Shelby County versus Holder, the U.S. Supreme Court's decision invalidating Section 5 of the 1965 Voting Rights Act. Anticipating even more erosion of the VRA, some states have passed their own state VRAs. It's not only the dismantling of Section 5, the pre-clearance requirements for states with a history of discrimination. The conservative justices also made proving racial gerrymandering harder under Section 2, and they've made it easier for a state legislature to dilute minority voting power. And in the lower courts, more cases attempting to keep individual voters from bringing voting rights lawsuits under the VRA are pending. With dwindling protections from the federal government, California, Washington, Oregon, Virginia, New York, Connecticut, and Minnesota have enacted state VRAs. Michigan, Maryland, New Jersey, and Florida have efforts underway. The NAACP Legal Defense Fund recommends that state VRAs should have pre-clearance requirements for municipalities which have patterns of discrimination. Rules should include a prohibition against vote denial or dilution through gerrymandering, strong protections against intimidation or deception, language assistance, a statewide database to make evidence-based decisions on election administration, and a directive to the state judiciary to support pro-voter and pro-democracy decisions. We have the recommendations at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The holidays are here, and it's nearly time to pick a present from our grown-up gift list with our Civic Media statewide Text to Win contest. Listen while you work for the keywords to text for your chance to win $100 cash, an overnight vacation at Chula Vista Resort, and be entered to win one of our grand prizes, a robot vacuum, new luggage, humidifier, espresso machine, and more on our grown-up gift list at civicmedia.us. Just download the Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 11, 1, and 4 for your chance to win in our statewide contest.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
We're going to start today's history lesson with a little ZZ Top because Billy Gibbons, guitarist, lead vocalist, born in Houston this day, 75 years ago. Happy 75th birthday to Billy Gibbons. He formed the group in 1969. I didn't know they went that far back. Frank Beard and the late Dusty Hill.
He was one of Jimi Hendrix's favorite guitar players.
Seriously?
Yep.
Wow. See, you learn stuff in the history lesson. Sometimes
it's all connected.
The guy giving the history lesson sometimes is like that. Yeah. Benny Andersson from ABBA is 78 years old today, so happy birthday to him. That's why we played Little Dancing Queen earlier. Both Dancing Benny Queens are here now, right after Ms. Heller turns down her speakers or puts on some headphones. Ms. Heller, good morning. Can you hear us?
Good morning.
The answer to that would be no. She has a very wonky connection. She'd written in earlier that her connection was really wonky and that she would try it again. 1972 on this day, Billy Paul began a 3-week run at the top of the charts with this hit.
Me and Mrs. Jones. Something about this song.
Yeah.
I do not like it.
Damn. Okay.
Wait till you hear the version from Mr. Jones. Mr. Jones has some things to say on a diss track. We mentioned earlier that Elvis's Christmas album was number one on the album charts this day in 1957. The Boston Tea Party happened on this day in 1773. On this day in 1989, Billy Joel had another number one album, Stormfront, got to the top. Its biggest hit was We Didn't Start the Fire, but it had some other singles as well, like this one.
Was this his last album of new material?
Well, I'm afraid if I tell you to say Google it, you'll yell at me again. So I don't know. So I'm Googling it up really quick myself right now.
I dare you, Patrick Kreitlow.
Let's see. There was one afterwards called Souvenir, but I think he was pretty well done by this point with the pop phase of his career. Anyway, the other singles off this album included the Downeaster Alexa, Leningrad, and Shameless, later made famous by Garth Brooks. On this day in 1993, Nirvana appeared on MTV's Unplugged.
Come as you are, as you were, as I want you to be.
Now, unlike nearly every other artist who needed multiple takes, the band performed this whole thing live in one take. And I will say again, I really miss this. This was such a great series at the time. Mm-hmm. And would love to see it come back. I mean, maybe just for a few weeks a year, perhaps.
It was so authentic.
Yep. Yeah. And they refused to play Smells Like Teen Spirit. They would not play that song live on this show.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's see. On this day in 2007, Beyonce had a number one hit. Irreplaceable was written by Ne-Yo and would remain the number one song for 10 weeks on the charts. Let's see, we lost Dan Fogelberg this day in 2007, died of prostate cancer at the age of 56. He came out of the 70s soft rock scene as such a balladeer. He had Same Old Lang Syne that you're going to hear 1,000 times during the holiday season here. And, of course, leader of the band and so many more. I was actually listening to a tribute album to Dan Fogelberg that had been done several years after his death that lots of artists were a part of. And I would recommend that album to folks as well. I love on the national day calendar today it just says, this is chocolate covered anything day.
Oh, so I can get on board with that.
Okay. Noted for the books. All right.
You know what? To that point, and trying to get things back on an even keel over here, there is an airline that is now serving a new chocolate covered treat. I don't know if they got tired of the same cookies or whatever, and you know, it was mentioned to me by somebody afterwards, like, that was really good. And I said, you realize that was just quinoa. It was chocolate-covered quinoa, which quinoa is basically, you know, styrofoam in certain forms. And you cover it with chocolate. It's like, oh, this is a really crispy chocolate bar. Yeah, because you can chocolate cover pretty much anything and make it taste good.
See how he gave it? Did you see how he did that? He put a story in there and then also just took a dig at quinoa.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, big quinoa is really going to come after me for that. This is National This is National Underdog Day. I don't think it refers to the cartoon, but for all you folks who remember Sweet Polly Purebred, well, you're old enough to get it. Today is also National Stupid Toy Day, which seems weird because isn't the whole gist of one of these holiday cartoons about the island of misfit toys? And that there are no stupid toys? Well,
okay, so really quick. You are both parents. Stupidest toy you ever bought for your kid?
Oh, everything with a battery.
There it is. Done. Done.
I don't need to top that one.
There it is.
No. We would always get it wasn't a Christmas toy, but we'd always get the price popcorn popper.
Yeah.
You know, where you roll it and the little balls pop around and it makes lots of noise and it's really awesome. Said the people giving the gift, not getting it. And finally, this is Beethoven's birthday. Ludwig von Beethoven was born in Bonn, Germany on this day in 1770. And we'll hear a little of him as we wrap up this first hour of Up North News Radio. We will be back to talk with author Laura Bird about books as Christmas gifts in a bit as well. After this, here up north. This is classy.
Nice.
The
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome talent manager and actress Heather Arndt and Appleton-based comedian Rob Brackenridge, who drops by the studio for some laughs. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Jeffrey from Madison.
I worked for the city of Madison for 34 years. Act 10 cost me $42,000.
Yep.
In 1977, the state of Wisconsin passed a law that says public employees cannot strike. With Act 10, now we can't bargain for working conditions and benefits, so they basically turned public employees into second-class citizens.
Yes.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Elected leaders continue to call for more federal help in determining the source of drones spotted over northeastern states. ABC's Whit Johnson has the latest.
Federal officials reiterate many of these reported sightings are airplanes or legally operated civilian drones. Sometimes distinguishing the difference can be difficult. The Biden administration insisting it has no evidence to suggest a national security threat or foreign involvement, but promising more resources to help solve the mystery.
President-elect Trump's cabinet picks continue their meetings with lawmakers on Capitol Hill. Robert Kennedy Jr., the choice for health secretary, has more than two dozen meetings scheduled. And Senator Lindsey Graham says the nominee for defense secretary Pete Hegseth told him he would allow